Let's bid good morning to Lizanne Carney. Good morning, Lizanne.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, well, you sound bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Your story was shared with me by our producer Vivian last night, and I was quite taken watching the video you made of your positivity, because, not to put too fine a point on it, you have a lot going on. You're a young mum, and you're facing terminal cancer, and you seem to be one of the brightest flowers in the meadow, if I can put it that way. You have a lot going on.
There is a lot going on. I've come from breast cancer to lung cancer, back to breast cancer, only recently for the third diagnosis found out last Thursday. But at the same time, I've two beautiful children, Lily and Luke. Luke is going to turn 5 on the 5th of July and Lily will turn 2 on the 4th of July. So you have to get up every morning and you have to live for them. And you have to continue on for your husband and for your family, for your friends, for your neighbours, for everyone. And I enjoy life. I was taught that life was precious from a young girl, because when I was 4 years of age myself, I lost my own mum to breast cancer. And myself and my four sisters grew up without a mum, but we had a dad and a mum in our dad. And we were just taught from a very young age that life is precious and you grab it with both hands and you go with it. And unfortunately, my roller coaster is an ongoing roller coaster that doesn't want me to come off, but I'm willing to fight it every day, no matter what.
Okay, this aggressive disease then, already holding part of your deeply personal story with the loss of your mum, is it something you always watched out for, something you ever expected would happen to you?
It was something I did watch for, and I would check my breast regularly. But it was always something as well that you never thought would still knock on your own doorstep. Even though it knocked on my own doorstep as a child, losing my mum, I just didn't think as a young adult, going in at 39, my 6-year-old, she was going having her injections on the Monday, and I found the lump on the Friday. And I didn't think on that Monday I was facing a GP appointment to see was I going to have breast cancer or not. And at that stage, you're dealing with a newborn baby. He was colic, he was lactose intolerant and everything under the line. And I already was sleep deprived and up with a 3-year-old as well at the time. And you didn't think it was yours. And I just thought, okay, maybe it was just a lump or an cyst. But I was so aware of my surroundings, and I suppose, and people advocating for themselves to go get your boobs checked, to go get yourself checked, that I knew that something wasn't right when I felt it. So, like, as I said, I felt it on the Friday, and first thing Monday morning at 8:30, I rang my GP and I asked for the appointment, and I got seen by the GP, and then we fast forward to the March last year and I went straight into treatment, and I've been in treatment ever since.
Lizanne, your story is inspirational, albeit with a sense of tragedy. You've always not put yourself first, if you like. Obviously, yourself first in treatment and doing your very best to get over this. But you have essentially reached out to women around the world and successfully driven women around the world to self-check and to get tested early.
Yeah, would you believe, if I don't do anything else in life, I feel as if I've accomplished something. I had a woman from Dubai, a woman from the UK, and a woman from Australia. Three people who reached out to me, who all found lumps and have since been tested for breast cancer. One I know that is confirmed on stage 2 breast cancer in Dubai. So, and I've been speaking to her on and off and helping her guide her way and navigate through everything. So I felt if I didn't do anything else for the rest of my life, at least I've helped 3 women. And I suppose I thought about sharing my story for the last 6 or 7 months, and I wasn't too sure. Maybe I wasn't in the right place at the right time. But I remember being in hospital. I'm only out of 6B recently. And can I just say, the staff on 6B is unbelievable. And my staff on my day ward on the cancer ward is just phenomenal. They are like what they do for us every single day to guide us through and to help us and nurse us back from health. They are complete. They are my angels. I would be lost without my day ward staff and 6B staff and 4B staff. They are just amazing. I think our only letdown in the system is there's not enough beds for us. And unfortunately, if we have to go to A&E, then we're left in the A&E process where they're not able to use our ports. And that's where we fall short. But on the other side, the staff that look after us in the cancer centre, you just can't thank them enough.
Can I ask you if I can impose just a little? It was after the birth of your baby that you felt sick. You said the baby was going for injections. You found the lump on the Friday. The baby's injections was on the Monday. And is there a tendency maybe for doctors to say, this is down to, you know, you're going to feel odd after the birth of the baby postpartum? Is postpartum, by the way, the new name for postnatal? I'm a little confused with that. It is.
So, postpartum would be your postpartum body, that your body wouldn't normally be the same as what it was, and it takes a few months for it to come around. And postnatal would be if you were, you know, slightly depression. I wouldn't know the medical terms or anything like that, but there is a difference between the two of them. But I was postnatal, so when I went to the GP, she wasn't too sure whether I wasn't breastfeeding. So she did think it was either a milk duct or an cyst, and it can be confused because your lumps, your breasts can be lumpy and they can be bumpy because you have just given birth and your hormones are all over the place. But I knew that there was something not right with my lump, and I could feel it, and it was moving. And I had asked then for a mammogram. Could I be sent for a mammogram? Now, she wasn't overly concerned or anything like that, and I understand that because I just had a newborn baby. But I do believe, and GPs aren't equipped to diagnose this, but I do think as a woman, if a woman comes in and looks for a mammogram straight away, I don't think there should be a question asked or a flag concerned. I just think there should be a mammogram sent off. And I do believe the system needs to change. It's 50 for women in Ireland. It's an absolute joke. If you go out to the Cancer Society at the moment, all of us women are nearly under 40 at this stage. It's getting younger and younger.
Yeah, well, you wanted the mammogram, but you also had the weight of history on your shoulder with your mum.
Yeah.
Tell me, following the diagnosis of the cancer, what was your medical journey from that point?
So from that point, I was waiting on a mammogram and I hadn't heard anything and I wasn't feeling well. And it was actually the first week of March and I was sitting down. I dropped my little boy to Luke to creche, and I was watching Ireland AM, and there was this young girl, and God rest her soul, I can't think of her name. She's now since passed. But she was 18 years of age and she was talking about her breast cancer journey. And every box ticked for me. So I took it upon myself to ring the breast clinic that day. And I told them, and I spoke to a lovely girl on the phone, Fiona, and I explained my situation, my history. And she said to me, well, we have a regular routine appointment for next Wednesday. Can you come in instead? And I said, yes. And I went into the breast clinic that following Wednesday and I was there for hours on end. I had mammograms, I had ultrasounds, I had everything. And all I know is that the nurse, Michelle, she was so nice. She sat me down in the quiet room after and she said, look, she said, we don't know what the situation is with you at the moment, but we do know we have a plan in place. I knew leaving there that I had cancer. It wasn't said because they couldn't say it.
And you'd glossed over one point there very quickly, and I just want to pick up on it because you said there was a routine appointment, and this medical receptionist or whatever, I don't want to, you know, medical professional, shall we say, had the courage, I suppose, to ring that person on a routine appointment and defer slightly to make a space for you to come in. And that I think that needs to be acknowledged. That's part of your story. That someone had the courtesy and the bravery to, you know, to reschedule a routine appointment and to fit you in.
Yes, because without that appointment, I wouldn't be here today. And that's no short of words, because I'm now terminal. And since last week only, I've gotten a third diagnosis that it has spread into my right breast.
Oh my God! How do you keep so positive and so talkative, so active and so caring for others?
I suppose I'm from Castletroy myself, and good old Vicky Feeling stood up for cervical cancer. And I feel she took a stand for her kids and a stand for herself and to advocate for women. And I remember being in hospital that Saturday and something popped up. I think it was reeling back the reels on the Saturday on the TV. And I was like, well, God damn me. I said, if Vicky Feeling can do it, why can't I? And I just said, this is it. So I text my husband, Rob, and I said, how do you feel? I said, if I use my social media, I said, to tell my story and to ask women to check themselves. And he said, well, Liz, he said, number one, he said, it's your story. Number two, it's your social media. And number three, fair play.
Rob has been your primary support through all this. A support system.
Rob has been my rock. Without Rob, I couldn't imagine me being here. He has been my everything.
But you have two young kids. How do you both maintain stability and positivity in the kids?
We kill each other. We shout. We laugh. We scream. And we get back up again.
Let's harken back to happier times for the moment. Where did you guys meet? How did you meet? Are you together long?
We're together about 13 years. I knew him throughout kind of a social scene years ago, but he was actually manager of Flannery's pub at the time, and it was New Year's Eve, and I was the only singleton out with all my friends, and he was the bar manager, and I asked him for too many double vodkas, and I told him he was a bit good looking and kept following him around, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. It's great to get a little bit of happiness out of the story. Let's get back if we can. I hate to press you, but there is a somber reality here. Your condition has progressed to incurable stage 4, lung.
Yes, lung, yes.
You're undergoing localised treatment. Now, this is, and it's hard to say it, it's targeted at extending your life, but it's also targeted at managing what is a terminal progression. How do you deal with that?
Some days and some nights I wake and I cry, and that's the honest truth. And you cry in silence and you get back up again and you pick yourself back up again. And then there was one thing I was taught in our cancer course, and I thought it was very good information to receive. You get up in the morning, and if you have any self-doubts or if you have any negativities, write them down and straight away process them and move on with your day.
That's amazing advice. And has your advice, I know you've used and leveraged your own personal social media platform. I'll give out those details in a moment. But you've leveraged your own social media channels and platforms in an attempt to help other women. Have a lot of women been contacting you after you started telling your story?
A lot of women, and on a daily basis, I speak to a few people, even in Limerick, Cork, Kerry, and even men have reached out to me who are going through prostate and bowel cancer. And it's the inside. It's the inside information that people don't understand. It's the little things. Like, people say, oh, how are you feeling today? And you answer and you repetitively say, oh, I'm good. But deep down, you're not good. It's the little inside jokes that we share together. Like, you go to your cancer treatment and you lose your hair. But you also forget, you lose your hair in your nose. So, like, what holds your nose hair? Is your hair holds your snot. So I have my 4-year-old boy at the moment who's constantly going around with a tissue, and he's like, here, mummy, wipe your nose.
Ah, God love him. Luke is what, 4 years of age?
He's 4 years of age, and he's going to be 5 on the 5th of July.
And Lily?
And Lily is 1, and she's going to be 2 on the 4th of July.
How much do they know, or could they know, and how much do you worry about them for the future?
Lily doesn't know anything, thank God. Luke knows a good bit. He's very tuned in. But with the help of my counsellor, Siobhan, we explain everything to him, to his level of age. And we've only used the word cancer in the last 4 months with my terminal diagnosis. And actually, a really good friend of mine and the manager of our creche in Caribou, she's phenomenal. Grania, she got us a book and she helped us navigate. It's someone I love who's living with cancer. And we read her book, and it has pictures and narratives like mammy going through chemo, losing her hair again, and different cells, everything like that. So we're working with him, and we read the book, and we bring it right back down to his level. But he's very tuned in, and he gets upset, I suppose, because I often could drop them to creche, and then all of a sudden I could be gone, and I could be in hospital, and I mightn't be back for a week or two. That's where he finds it difficult. So he's gone very attached in that way, and I find that very, very hard. And then you're also looking back at when I was 4 years of age, and I have the memories of my mother's funeral. I have the memories of when I had to go on a feeding tube only a few weeks ago. I had remember pulling out my own mother's feeding tube, and I was thinking, God, am I going down the same path? Now, lucky, I only needed a feeding tube for a week or two to get me back on track, to stop the bleed and to rest the bowel, and I was back off it and I'm back eating normal, and I'm very grateful for that. But you also, you keep going back to the flashbacks that you've had, and you're wondering, will Luke always remember these flashbacks when he's older?
I'm sure he will. Is there any hope, Lizanne?
I don't believe it for a second. I'm here for a long time, and I'm going to fight every single day.
And Rob?
And Rob is the same. We know, like, I've too much of a spirit. I've too much to lose. I'm not giving into this.
Take a breath and relax a little if you can. I didn't want you to get emotional, and I'm sorry if the questioning has brought you to that. But you know, you need to keep fighting, and evident in your energy there now, you certainly have a lot of positivity.
Yeah, I know I do. And even though the heat is an absolute killer, and if you saw my social medias yesterday, I was on the rage for a swimming pool just so I could dip into ice to cool down. No, it's nice to be out and do little simple things that I longed for last summer. I feel this summer I'm able to do a small little bit more with the kids. Last summer, I couldn't even bring my kids to the playground. I was just chemo. I had 7 months of weekly chemo. And when I say chemo, it just doesn't go my way. It doesn't go my way. And every symptom of chemo, I seem to have a backlash of it. And unfortunately, that's just the way it goes for me. But I still won't give up. And the nurses won't give up on me either inside in 6B. I think they're too stubborn and I'm too stubborn. And we just work together every day to keep going.
Lizanne, one thing that might help you, I'm not sure, maybe somebody can donate one to you. You know the ice baths, you can get an inflatable one. And you just keep it outside, fill it with water, throw ice in if you want to. You can just hop in, step in and out of that. And or even if somebody has an inflatable swimming pool of a larger size than the little, like the ice baths are just like a little barrel. But,
yeah.
You know, our listeners, I'm sure, you're an absolute inspiration, by the way, just in case.
Thank you.
Nobody else has said it. And so much so. Let's look for an ice bath or a inflatable swimming pool that you might be able to cool down in this heat.
Thank you.
You're just amazing. People can find you on Lizanne Carney, Lizanne, on Insta and on TikTok as well.
Yeah. And Facebook. I'm using all my social media platforms now because I'm just like, why not? It's time we made a change. It's 2026, and I think changes need to be made. And if we don't, us women don't advocate for ourselves, who else is going to advocate for us?
Yeah. The first interest I had in you before I played your clip, I was going, who's this? That's a very confident woman. Look at the glasses you're wearing. The glass, you wear inordinately large glasses. And it got my interest straight away to listen. And then when I heard your story, I was going, oh my God, this is such an incredibly brave woman. Do you feel brave?
I suppose, I don't know, do I feel brave or not? Some days I feel scared. And other days I do find, since I took over my social media, I kind of feel inspired, if that makes sense. And I kind of feel like all I want to do now is give back and help. Like, I've had some amazing people to help me along in my journey. And when the days that I'm better and the days that I feel good, all I want to do is help and give back, because there's so many people like me who don't come forward and who are going through similar situations. And all you want to do is help people and navigate them the way through forward.
Lizanne, I could talk to you all day, and I'd love to talk to you again, or perhaps it'll fall to Neil to talk to you again as we keep up with your progress and keep up with your fight every day, keep up with your bravery, keep up with your inspiration. Lizanne Carney on Insta and TikTok. It's been a pleasure talking to you, if a very difficult conversation. I think a very worthwhile one, and you continue to project positivity out there for yourself and for others, and long may it continue. All heroes don't wear capes. You are definitely an absolute inspiration. Thank you, Lizanne.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Good morning.